your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Your boy Q here with you as always at your boy Q254. And it is a crossover Thursday. What does that mean? I'll tell you about it in just a few seconds. But first, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors. Matter of fact, a couple of the great sponsors here on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. And how about Visa? Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, favorite shops, local businesses, they've always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at a local business and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Also want to give a big shout out to our good friends at Sahara Las Vegas. I've been telling you about them a lot. They are the place that will make your football getaway great. I'll definitely tell you about them a little bit more detail coming up at the end of segment number two. But shout out to Sahara Las Vegas, especially this weekend as the Saints are coming to town. And since the Saints are coming to town and it is Thursday, and I said it was a crossover Thursday, that's exactly what it means. That means that I get to get together with a guy who hosts whatever team the Raiders are playing. And up this week is the Saints. Last week it was the Panthers. This week on the schedule it's the Saints. So this week I get to Howard Cosell. I get to get my interview on and get a little conversation going with Ross Jackson. He is the host of Locked On Saints. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. That's Nolia, at Ross Jackson, Nolia. Really good dude. He's fun to talk to. You've heard him here on the Locked On Raider podcast a few times. If you've been listening for a while, it's always good to catch up with him. So coming up in segment number two and segment number three today, you'll hear our crossover edition as we kind of break down the game. We talk about the Michael Thomas injury. We talk about the other weapons that the Saints still have, even without Thomas, if he doesn't play. Talk about the defense. And, of course, talk about the Raiders offense. Talk about the Raiders defense. Talk about what John Gruden wants to do. Henry Ruggs. All that good stuff. We'll get down and dirty into the details of how the game could go down on Monday night at Allegiant Stadium. Crossover Thursday. You'll hear that conversation coming up in segment number two and segment number three. Here in segment number one, I want to give you the news and the notes of the day, and there's not a whole lot to get to, just a couple little nuggets, but one that's kind of special. One I think is going to be special in the hearts of Raider Nation as the nominees. There was 135 nominees announced for the 2021 class of the Hall of Fame for Canton, Ohio, and we all know as Raider fans that Coach Tom Flores, he's going to be going into the Hall of Fame in 2021. It's a long time coming, should have been in a long time ago, but finally, you know, as John McClain has actually verified on this very podcast, he will be in the Hall of Fame in 2021. That's already special. Well, the 135 guys were nominated, and you know, they continue to dwindle that down up until the Super Bowl, and then it's announced the actual guys, the ones that are actually going to be in the class. So I'm not worried and even thinking about the 135 guys. I'm looking at the 14 first ballot nominees for the 2021 Hall of Fame. And the one that stands out to me, not Peyton Manning, not Calvin Johnson, not Wes Welker, not Roddy White, not Heath Miller, Steven Jackson, DeBrickenshaw Ferguson, Logan Mankins, Charles Tillman, Jared Allen, Justin Tuck, Kevin Williams, Jared Mayo. No disrespect to any of those. Lots of really good players that I just named off. But the one guy that I am focused in on when I see the first year eligible nominees is one C. Wood. Charles Woodson. I try to keep it clean for the podcast, but Charles Woodson deserves it. So yeah, C. Wood is a first year eligible nominee for the 2021 Hall of Fame class, and I don't think that there's any doubt at anyone's mind that he's going to go in first ballot. They might as well go ahead and start working on his bust, might as well start working on the size of his jacket. Get that gold jacket ready, because number 24 is going to be walking into Canton, Ohio in 2021, and I think that's very exciting. Now look, this is just the first stage, him being a nominee of the 135, but if you go back and look at Charles Woodson's career, and yes, I know he had a really good career with the Green Bay Packers as well, but Charles Woodson is a Raider through and through. He is going to go into the Hall of Fame, so I bring this up and I'm excited about it because not only is Charles Woodson going to go in representing Raider Nation, but also Tom Flores. So that's going to be two. And Raider Nation is always, and Raiders are always the ones that take so long to get into the Hall of Fame. So to know that there's actually going to be two people representing the Raiders going into the Hall of Fame in 2021, I think that's awesome. You know, and look, there's many other Raiders, particularly Cliff Branch, that deserves to be in there. You know, Lester Hayes has a good argument for it as well. I mean, there's plenty of guys that deserve to be in there. But just to know that the Raiders, for once, are going to get a couple guys into the Hall of Fame at the same time, I think Raider Nation is just going to take over Canton, Ohio when the Hall of Fame comes up. And I'll tell you, I've been to that event one time, and that was when LaDainian Tomlinson went in there because he's from Central Texas. And so my radio station, ESPN Central Texas, we went and covered it. And I'll tell you, I didn't know what it was going to be like. I didn't know how excited I was going to be. I was like, oh, I'm going to Ohio. Great, whatever. But I knew I was going to the Hall of Fame. And I'll tell you right now, it was one of the best events I've ever been to. And I've been blessed, and I've been to some really cool events, including multiple Super Bowls. But going to the Hall of Fame enshrinement is so special. It's such next level because everywhere you look, you see a guy with a gold jacket. You are amongst the elite of the elite. Every single person that is there has a gold jacket. Like we were at an event where they were just kind of having drinks and just socializing, and Tim Brown just walks by me with his gold jacket on. I was like, hey, what's up, Tim? He's like, hey, what's up? You know, I just want to take a picture or whatever. And everyone's in a good mood because everyone's elite. You know what I mean? And so it's crazy. You know, like Howie Long is there. I mean, there's just so many Raiders that are walking around there with their gold jackets on. Mike Haynes, who was on the podcast just the other day, you know, he was there. And it's just such a proud moment just to see all those guys with their gold jackets. So I remember how LaDainian Tomlinson was. And we all know as Raider fans how much of a stud he was and how much he killed the Raiders all the time. I couldn't stand him when he was playing for the Chargers in particular, because he killed the Raiders every time he went out there. But even he was kind of almost like giddy. You know, I remember asking him straight up. I was like, man, how do you feel being here amongst all the, you know, all the gold jackets? And he was like, man, I'm the most confident dude in the world, but this is different, man. You know, like if they tell me shut up, I'm gonna be quiet. It's like the first day of school. You know, it's like you look up to the other guys who've been there and you kind of follow their lead because you're just kind of nervous. I mean, it's different when you're amongst the elite. So, yeah, Charles Woodson, Tom Flores, both going into the Hall of Fame in 2021. That is going to be a special moment. And if you have an opportunity to go and visit Canton, Ohio, and be there for that celebration, I say that you start planning your trip now because, again, it is going to be one hell of an event. I promise you. I really, absolutely, 100% promise you, you don't want to miss it if you have a chance to be there. Now, I went kind of long on that. I didn't think I was going to talk that much, but man, when I start talking about the Hall of Fame, I get going and I get a little excited. I also wanted to give a little shine to kicker Daniel Carlson. You know, he's been a guy that's been kind of dogged here and there by Raider Nation because, you know, especially 2019, he wasn't the most consistent kicker, but he had a really good day on Sunday for the Raiders. And I know when I was shouting out some people who had a good game, like Josh Jacobs and Denzel Good, who came in and filled in for Trent Brown and Sam Young, as a matter of fact, and you know, guys like that, and Henry Ruggs, he went out there and did well. Somebody pointed out to me, they're like, man, you haven't shouted out Daniel Carlson. He made a 54-yard field goal, and he was perfect on his field goals. He was perfect on his extra points. He piled up 10 points alone, and so he was AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. So Daniel Carlson, representing the Raiders, came through in the clutch. Obviously, the Raiders won the game over the Panthers 34-30, but the little piece the NFL put out, they said, without a perfect day from kicker Daniel Carlson, it's unlikely the Las Vegas Raiders would have defeated the Panthers 34-30 on Sunday. Carlson was voted AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. The silver and black booter was perfect on the day, piling up 10 points as he hit all four of his extra points and both of his field goals, including a career-long 54 yards. And I'm not going to lie, Raider Nation, when he went out for that 54-yarder, I looked at the wife like, he ain't going to make that. He ain't going to make it. I just didn't have the confidence that he was going to make it. I mean, one, is 54 yards, but two, in 2019, Daniel Carlson just was not the most accurate dude in the world. You know, he looked like he was going to take a step backwards, but drilling those field goals, and especially that 54-yarder, it was big. It was a big deal, putting up 10 points for the Raiders and helping secure that victory. So shout out to Daniel Carlson being named AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. And that's really all I got for you today for segment number one, news and notes of the day. Let's go ahead and jump into segment number two, crossover edition, part one of my conversation with Ross Jackson from the Locked On Saints on Twitter at Ross Jackson NOLA. That's Nolia. That's coming up next. But before I get into that, I got to tell you about CBD MD. And right now you're probably thinking, CB who? CB4? No, not the movie. CBD MD. And it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, you could be a stay-at-home parent, you might spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair. Everyone needs support to make it through the day, right? Well, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol, it's an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they are looking for all Locked On Raider podcast listeners. They're trying to hook you up with 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. CBDMD.com, promo code LOCKEDONNFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. Segment number two is on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is time to jump into the crossover edition. We do it every single Thursday here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. It used to be, well, across the Locked On Podcast Network, actually. It used to be every Wednesday. Now we do it on Thursdays, get a little bit closer to game time. So here is part one of my conversation. As we take a look at the New Orleans Saints, I got a chance to catch up with Ross Jackson. Real good dude. He's host of the Locked On Saints. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nolia, N-O-L-A. And here is part one of our conversation as we talk about the Raiders and Saints Monday Night Football.
All right, we got Saints traveling to the Las Vegas Raiders this Monday night. Q, we are all over prime time, baby. We're ready to go.
Yeah, man, excited about this. It's not that often in the past that the Raiders are actually in prime time, but got a bunch of prime time games this season because we'll obviously open up the brand new stadium, Allegiant Stadium, and what better team to kick it off with? And I'll tell you, Ross, if the stadium was able to have fans, this place would be packed to the gills with not only Raider fans, but Saints fans as they travel really, really well. Unfortunately, they're not, but man, I'm excited about this game. Monday Night Football, it should be a really, really good one.
Yeah, this is going to be outstanding. And, we're talking about Monday Night Football, and I kind of want to start there. You know the reputation for Drew Brees. Drew Brees is masterful on Monday Night Football, more touchdowns than any other quarterback in NFL history between that 2003, since he came into the league, and now more passing yards. Better completion percentage, better pass rating than anybody with less than or at least more than six different Monday Night Football games since 2003. The guy is outstanding when it comes to Monday Night Football. But of course, the big news breaking here recently with the Saints, Michael Thomas, probably not available with that high ankle sprain. So Drew Brees is going to have to rely on some of that magic in order to get a win on Monday night. What are the Raiders planning on doing over on the defensive side to limit him? And does it make it any easier to not have Michael Thomas on that field?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that's, you know, the obvious that it's definitely a help that he's not out there. And now you never are happy that a guy is injured because he's a heck of a player and you like to see him on the big stage. But yeah, I mean, just to eliminate one of the weapons that Sean Payton and Drew Brees have to dial up. But you know, the Raiders, they have a very young defense. They have a young secondary. Damon Arnett is a rookie defensive back out of Ohio State. Got his first taste of the NFL last week against the Carolina Panthers and did okay, but also gave up a big play, you know. And so he's going to have to learn. He's being thrown into the fire quickly. Trayvon Mullen on the other side, he's just a second-year guy. So, I mean, he's still kind of learning on the fly. You got Jonathan Abram on the back end. He's basically in his rookie year. He only played 30 minutes his first year. So, I mean, there's a lot of youth and there's a lot of new on the Raiders defense that has never been a really, really good defense. So they're still trying to figure each other out. They're trying to feel out the situation. It's going to be a major test. You know, this is going to kind of see where these guys are at early in the season and how they can, you know, try to slow down Drew Brees and this Saints attack. And you know, I kind of wanted to ask you about that because a lot of people, a lot of NFL fans are reacting to what they saw week one against Tampa Bay and say, yeah, well, you know what? The Saints don't really have that or don't look like they have that big-time, high-flying offense like they always have because they didn't put up that many points against Tampa Bay. Looked like they struggled a little bit. I don't really, I'm not buying that. It's week one of the regular season, but right. What are your thoughts on where the Saints are offensively as Drew Brees gets a year older?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you take away the pick six for a touchdown, the Saints were essentially right where they were in terms of the last 6 years. They averaged 29 points per game. You take away the pick for the touchdown, they came back and they were sitting basically at 27 points. So they were right there in terms of what they've done on average over the last 6 years when they were considered one of the more dangerous teams coming into the NFL, at least on the offensive side for most of, if not all of those years. The big improvement was over on the defensive side, which we'll talk a little bit more about here in a little bit. But when it comes down to the Saints offense, I mean, this is an offense that still put three touchdowns up, two from Alvin Kamara, one from Emmanuel Sanders, almost got a third one from Alvin Kamara, but he was a millimeter short when Sean Payton looked like he was trying to rub it in just a little bit against the division rival Buccaneers. But this offense, even when it wasn't clicking, was still producing, which is something you always love about Sean Payton and Drew Brees. They're always going to find a way to make it happen. Of course, they were aided by the pick six by Janoris Jenkins, which was huge for them, and just the type of play that Saints fans aren't used to seeing from the black and gold over on the defensive side. So that was excellent. But when it comes down to this offense, like, this offense is going to settle in. They're going to be fine. And I retain that and remain with that confidence, even without Drew Brees, even without Michael Thomas on the field. Because remember, this is a team that had to go out and win five games in a row last year without Drew Brees,
right?
Last season. And so now Coach Payton, the mad scientist that he is, I said on Locked On Saints yesterday, he's a genius and geniuses get bored. Now he's got a little bit of a test here, and he's got to figure out how to game plan around not having Michael Thomas. But the difference between last year and this year is that this year he still has Drew Brees, and he still has the opportunity to come out here with Drew Brees and make something happen with this offense. So I wouldn't buy into the Saints aren't ready hype just yet. Remember, this is a team that, just like every other team across the NFL that didn't have a preseason, hadn't really had the opportunity to get those full speed reps in. So you saw the Saints start to settle in a little bit in the second half. The one thing that I will question, though, is Drew Brees' accuracy. He was sort of uncharacteristically inaccurate during this game, completing only 60% of his passes, but he also completed 60% of his passes. Right. So, you know, it's kind of like a here nor there, or kind of a give or take that you have to have in terms of what you're extrapolating out of the week one action. And familiarity, of course, has been a big part of this Saints offense, but there's a lot of familiarity for this Saints offense going up against the Las Vegas defense. Emmanuel Sanders has a lot of experience going up against the Raiders, yeah. And he did it as recent as last season. Jared Cook used to play for the Raiders. He's familiar with their system. Eric Harris, one of the safeties over there, is, you know, he came into the league from the CFL with the New Orleans Saints. So there's a lot of familiarity between these two teams. How do you think the familiarity might play a part going into this team, whether it's a benefit for the Raiders, who do have a lot of familiarity over on their side as well, or potentially as detriment?
Well, you know, I think that one, and I was going to ask you about Jared Cook anyway, I think with how good he is, and Derek Carr knows firsthand how good he is because he had a really, really good run with Jared Cook while he was a member of the Raiders. And so I think that with Thomas being out, that Jared Cook is probably going to become that X factor. At least that's what I said the other day on Locked On Raiders, is like, hey, man, don't get caught slipping. Jared Cook is still there, and he's going to be a heck of a player. So I think that they know how good he could be, so they probably will put a little bit extra attention on him. And Emmanuel Sanders, like you said, I think that was a big pickup for the Saints to get him in free agency, just to be, you know, the wingman to Michael Thomas. And now he has an opportunity to kind of be the dude with Michael Thomas most likely being out. So I think that they're at least Paul Gunther and company on defensive side of the ball. At least they're familiar with those guys, know what they do really well, kind of know how to defend them. But at the same time, those are guys that you hope to slow down. You can't stop them completely. And then, of course, you got, Alvin Kamara in the backfield, who didn't have the most yards rushing on Sunday, but still had a really good game. Like you mentioned, he's always going to be a weapon. I also think that coming off a game against the Panthers where they had to face Christian McCaffrey, they kind of feel like, hey, we were able to not stop him. You're not going to stop him, but kind of slow him down. And then Josh Jacobs had a big game offensively, so that kind of it kind of balanced out. You know, it's kind of like they equaled each other out. So I think that they can look at that blueprint that they had going into the game against the Panthers and say, this is how we're going to defend him. But we also need to hope for, you know, a couple balls to bounce our way and you know, hope for the defense to get a little pressure on Drew Brees, because that's one thing. If you don't get pressure on Drew Brees, he's going to pick you apart no matter how old he is.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a big part. I think that's going to be a big emphasis over on the Saints defense as well. I think that, you know, if we can shift over to talking about them for a bit, they were a little bit of a surprise for the NFL come in here. The Saints all of a sudden looking like a defensive team.
Right.
You know, another one of those overreactions coming out of week one. But that defensive line, out of the eight players that they rotated throughout the defensive line, they put together several different looks, lining players up at multiple positions, working to make sure that they're keeping the offensive lines across from them working.
So that was part one of my conversation right there with Ross Jackson, talking all things Saints, talking all things Raiders, as we get ready and get prepared, Raider Nation, for week two of the NFL season. It's not on Sunday, got to wait an extra day, but at the same time, it's a lot of fun because it's Monday Night Football and it doesn't get any better than Monday Night Football. So that was part one of our conversation. We'll come back with part two of the conversation. We'll close out the show with part two of the conversation as we talk all things Saints, all things Raiders on the Locked On Raiders podcast. That's coming up next. But before I get into that, I got to tell you about NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Right now, you can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, breakout stars from each and every game, each and every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, and it's all in one place. NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Right now, go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Before we get into segment number three, though, I got to tell you about Sahara Las Vegas as well. You know I like Sahara Las Vegas a lot. Been telling you about it a long time because it's the place that will make your football getaway great. And of course, with New Orleans coming to town on Monday, there's never been a better time to get away to Vegas. You cannot let this season go by without being a part of history. And the best place to stay in Vegas and show your fandom is at Sahara Las Vegas. If you don't want to travel all over the city, do all kind of crazy stuff, and, you know, especially now with a lot of the city being shut down, Sahara has all the best places to watch the game, awesome drink specials, sports books to place your bets, exciting casino action with slots, table games, and an all-new poker room. There are also plenty of restaurants and bars to choose from. So get locked in for the season and get your exclusive Locked On Raider podcast deal. Stay at Sahara and get 15% off your hotel stay and a daily food and beverage credit. Book now, right now, as a matter of fact, at SaharaLasVegas.com/VegasNation. Use the promo code FANS. If that doesn't quite work for you, use the promo code LOCKED. That's SaharaLasVegas.com/VegasNation, code FANS or LOCKED to stay at the best place to watch and enjoy the games. Again, Sahara Las Vegas. Now, segment number three, part two of my conversation with Ross Jackson is coming up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, so you heard part one of my conversation with Ross Jackson. You heard that in segment number two as we started talking all things Raiders, started talking all things Saints. Got to wait an extra day for this game. This should be a real fun matchup. Should be something great to see. Opening up Allegiant Stadium. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any fans there because I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation and the Saints fans would go and represent in a major way. But either way, it's going to be fun to see the Raiders out there on that field, their brand new home, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, and going up against an opponent like the New Orleans Saints. So here is part two of the conversation. Myself and Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints. You can find him on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. That's at Ross Jackson, Nolia. Here is part two of our conversation.
The offensive line for the Raiders last week did work. I mean, three allowed pressures opened up gaping holes for Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs, I think, is one of the biggest threats to the Saints right now. The Saints have not allowed a 100-yard rusher since, I can't remember which week it was, but it was late in the 2017 season. It was Samaje Perine.
Wow.
Since then, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. And I think Jacobs might be the biggest challenge that they've faced here recently, maybe outside of Dalvin Cook at the wild card game last year. He's a really, really talented player. What do teams have to do to slow him down?
Well, I mean, that's just it. You know, they have to load up the box, and that's what he's used to running against is a loaded box. But it all starts up front with those big uglies that you mentioned, man. That offensive line, they love to block, and they love to block downhill, you know. And Josh Jacobs, he is really good. The biggest thing I think that you could say is a feather in his cap is what he's able to do from the running back position after first contact. Last week against the Panthers, he forced 10 missed tackles and picked up 83 yards after contact. And, you know, that's just what he does. You know, he led the league in missed tackles last year with 70. You know, he forced 70 missed tackles, and he already did 10 just in one game. So clearly, you know what I mean? Like, he's
on pace for the hot 160 coming
up. Man, he's cooking with grease right now. Now, you know, I'm not saying he's going to do it each and every week, but he's gotten better from what he did his rookie year. And so that's where it kind of starts and ends with the Raiders. If you could stop the run game, you could really kind of neutralize the offense, make him one-dimensional. John Gruden is obviously going to want to get things cooking with Josh Jacobs early, and he's going to want to get cooking often. But you know, that stat that you threw out there, no 100-yard rusher since 2017, and on top of that being Samaje Perine, that is a really, really big shock and a big surprise to me. Even though I know the Saints have a really good defense and good players on their defensive line, what has Dennis Allen done, who actually used to be a Raiders head coach, what has Dennis Allen done defensively to kind of slow down the run game through all this time?
Yeah, there's an incredible amount of sort of overlap between these two teams. It's really something else. But yeah, I mean, I think for Dennis Allen, like, the big focus here has been the way that they have produced with that defensive line. The Saints have put together a defensive line that's so talented that they don't have to rush with their linebackers. They don't have to rely on linebackers to get after pressure. So it allows those linebackers to really play that run first style of ball that you like to see. The Saints also came out last week and against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they lined up, I think it was 33 times in their nickel set, and their average weight across the defense on that nickel set is about 241 pounds.
Wow.
And with that, they allowed less than 3 yards rushing. So they have really, really fantastic tacklers at every position, and something that they've really focused on and something that they've really sort of driven home. You know, they do that on the offensive side with the skill position players. You can come into camp and you can make all the big plays, big catches, big runs you want. If you can't block and you can't play special teams, you ain't making the team. And over on the defensive side, it's very much the same thing. You can be this great coverage guy, you can be this outstanding, you know, pass rusher, but if you can't tackle, you're not playing for this defense. And that's something that they've really, really pushed and really focused on, emphasized throughout this offseason, particularly without a preseason, to where people just got their first take of full on, full speed, full contact action in the NFL this past week. And one of the reasons why you saw so many broken tackles, not necessarily for Josh Jacobs, who has a penchant for doing that over his career so far, but you look at across the league, the amount of broken tackles, a lot of that has to do with the lack of contact that these players didn't, you know, they ended up not getting because of no preseason. And so the Saints really focused on that over the offseason and making sure that they put together these fantastic tacklers, Marshawn Lattimore, Janoris Jenkins, bringing Malcolm Jenkins back, CJ Gardner-Johnson, PJ Williams is known as a great tackler. All those guys are secondary players, but they have the potential, if they're playing in the right situations, to lead the team in tackles if they needed to. Like, they're very, very good tacklers, and that's been a big part of it. So it's the fact that the front seven has been really reliable, and that the pass rush has been able to generate from whatever the down lineman number is, because they play a multi-front set here.
Right.
And then you have the secondary that can also get involved from the nickel, from, you know, the dime, wherever it is that they are, to where they're closer to the line of scrimmage. They're able to get in and get their hands dirty and make tackles as well. Now, the big other weapon that you're starting to see come to life immediately for the Raiders has been the rookie Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs had a couple of fantastic plays against that secondary in Carolina. The secondary in Carolina is still young, still has some growing pains. You know, they're still learning their communication. The Saints secondary, a little bit older, a little bit more experienced, but speed kills no matter what. And Henry Ruggs has a lot of it to go around. The Saints are definitely going to want to focus on limiting him as much as possible.
Yeah, no, they are. And the thing about it is, what I found to be a pleasant surprise, and wasn't it a surprise, it was a nice sight to see early on, was that John Gruden was really trying to emphasize getting Henry Ruggs the ball, no matter how. If it was just getting him a bubble screen, if it was getting him a slant across the field, if it was, you know, taking a deep shot early. I think the second play of the game, Derek Carr took it deep, and even though he didn't connect it, you just know that, hey, that threat is there, and you have to respect that. And so that kind of stops different defenses from loading up the box and trying to slow down Josh Jacobs, because all that speed is out there. And like you mentioned, speed kills. You know, he had a couple end arounds that he ran with Henry Ruggs. And so it's just a guy that you clearly see – John Gruden wants to use and get the most out of his speed. He's a tough player. He went out with a knee injury at the end of the first half and then came back, and he didn't touch the ball in the second half, but he was still out there the whole second half, at the very least as a, you know, as a decoy, and still just running his routes. And you have to respect that speed, so you can't just say, oh, he's not going to get no attention, and I don't have to worry about him, because he could, you know, he could take it to the house. He's a home run waiting to happen. As you really very well know, the Saints have plenty of home runs waiting to happen. So, yeah, he's a guy that I think John Gruden's going to want to feature, and that the Saints are really going to have to make sure that they focus in on and know where he's at all time, because like you mentioned, speed kills. Now, this guy's not the fastest dude in the world, but he's a heck of a playmaker. We talked about him already. Tight end Jared Cook, former Raider, former Packer, former Ram. I mean, just he's a heck of a player. He's with the Saints, and he looked really good last season when he was with the Saints. With Michael Thomas being out, how much more do you think his role increases with the Saints and Sean Payton's play calls this week?
Yeah, I can see them really starting to lean on Jared Cook. He's probably the next receiver, next receiving threat that Drew Brees has the best communication with. Over the final 10 games last season, or rather over the final 7 games last season. No, it was 10, my bad. Over the final 10 games last season, Jared Cook had 537 receiving yards, 7 touchdowns, and that was huge for the issues happened early on for Jared Cook with the Saints, because they, you know, kind of got off to a little bit of a slow start against the Houston Texans to open the season. And then, you know, Jared Cook had just been coming back from injury. He missed some time during camp. And then Drew Brees gets hurt the second game of the season. And so Jared's got to get comfortable with Teddy Bridgewater under center. And then Jared Cook got hurt and then came back for a little bit. And then it wasn't really until after that, the bye week and that Falcons game following the bye week that the Saints lost, that both Jared Cook and Drew Brees actually got time together on the field. And once that happened, those two took off. And they looked like they picked up right in the same place that they left off last year, which is a huge benefit for this team. He didn't have any touchdowns last week, but he did have 5 catches for 80 yards. Drew Brees got him on a deep bomb for about 46 yards. We're all shocked that, you know, Drew Brees got it down the field that far. But hey, he still got him every now and then, particularly earlier on in the season. And so I think that they'll take advantage of that freshness in the arm and the way that, you know, this defense is going to have a little bit of trouble for Las Vegas, because the guy that we still haven't talked about, or we've only talked about a little bit, Alvin Kamara, is still back there with a fresh $75 million grill ready to run. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a lot of opportunity still for this offense to figure out, okay, we don't have Michael Thomas. How do we continue to be explosive, to be unpredictable, and to create something to where we can still produce? And so you're going to look to see who is that next guy behind Emmanuel Sanders in terms of the wide receiver position that steps up. But the Saints still have a lot of skill position players that they can lean on as well.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell Raider Nation. A lot of them think that Michael Thomas is the only weapon, or not only weapon, but just, oh, well, when he's down, the offense just isn't going to go, and Drew Brees is older. But I'm convinced, man, between Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray, Jared Cook, I mean, you know, the defense you got. Mm-hmm. I think Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins, I think that's a big pickup as well. He had the pick 6 last week, but I just think a good compliment like him across from Marshawn Lattimore goes a long way as well defensively.
Yeah, it helps a lot. I mean, if this team for the Saints over on their defensive side can limit the run game as best as you can with a talent like Josh Jacobs there, and then you're able to continue to play man coverage and do what the Saints offense did last week against a very talented Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiving potential team there, that's going to be huge for them. You know, if they can be another team that wins on the back of their defense and special teams, I don't think anybody is going to complain about it at all. There are a couple of key injuries for the Saints outside of Michael Thomas. Marcus Davenport hopefully will be able to come back and be that edge rusher, but if not, opposite Cam Jordan, but if not, Trey Hendrickson had a nice performance last week. He's a depth guy, but he's really, really starting to come into his own, so he'll be somebody to watch for Raider fans. Potentially Zach Bond and Cesar Ruiz, two of the rookies here for the Saints who didn't get into the action during the first week. Those are a couple other names to watch out for the injury report to see if they end up coming in to help shore up, in Cesar Ruiz's case, the interior offensive line, and then for the linebacking core, Zach Bond.
Well, there's a couple guys injured for the Raiders that obviously Raider Nation is very kind of holding their breath to see what's going to go on with. Haven't heard the latest, but Trent Brown, right tackle, the mammoth right tackle, he left the game on Sunday after 3 plays, a calf injury. There's questions in the organization if he's one of those guys that loves football and could play through, you know, just being banged up a little bit, or if it's one of those guys that likes to spend more time on the training table. So you got to watch out for that. And then also middle linebacker Nick Kwiatkowski came over from the Bears. He's the general of the defense. He has a pec injury. It's not torn, so that's good. No word if he's going to play on Monday or not. I guess it's lucky that he has an extra day. He's going to try to play, but there's no word if the Raiders are going to actually allow him to play. I mentioned Henry Ruggs had a little knee injury coming out of that game, but he said he's fine. We'll see the official report later on as far as the injury goes, but I feel like he is going to be a go. But those two guys are the main to watch out for. Trent Brown, the right tackle, and then Nick Kwiatkowski, the middle linebacker, if he's going to play or not. Those are two big losses if they're both out. And I know Trent Brown is getting a bad reputation right now with Raider Nation, but I believe they're a better team when that mammoth right tackle is in there, especially when you got a guy like Cam Jordan coming to town. And you know how dangerous he is. I feel like he's underrated as an edge rusher, but he is an absolute dog. So the Raiders need everything they can have to kind of slow that guy down.
Yeah, this is going to be a very fun matchup, man. This was, of course, a very fun crossover, as it always is. Love chopping it up with you, homie. And best of luck for Monday night, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So there it is right there. That is our conversation. That is the crossover for this Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints. Go ahead and give him a follow. He's a really good dude. Fun to talk to. Just kind of breaking down the game. We were going to do some predictions on the game, but just kind of decided that, you know what, we just leave it out there and let you decide on what you think the outcome of the game is going to be. Got an extra day to kind of think about it and see how the games go on Sunday. And then all eyes on Monday night will be on the Raiders. All eyes will be on the Saints. All eyes will be on Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Very, very exciting. Cannot wait. But it's cool because not only do we usually talk about the game and kind of break down how I think the game's going to be won or lost on Fridays, we actually have another day, an extra day to talk about the game in anticipation for it. So pretty excited about that. Pretty pumped up about that. Waiting to hear a little bit more on the injury front. But either way you look at it, man, it should be fun. So coming up on tomorrow's show, there will be some news and notes on the injury front. There will be some calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And of course, you know, we'll have more to talk about as far as this game goes on Monday night for Monday Night Football, week two of the NFL season. So until then, Raider Nation, take care of yourself. Make sure you wash your hands. You take care of your loved ones. You know, social distance. Wear your mask. Do what you got to do. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.